So on today's Windy City Queercast, Mitchell Fain and I hanging out in the backyard. He's dancing around like a little fairy in the green, green grass. And we're talking about choices. Is that even a real word? I don't know. Plus some tragedy for the Jewish community over in Tel Aviv. And also the review of Julie and Julia, Meryl Streep on the big screen again. Richard Knight Jr. taking us there. Ah, choices. Is that a real word?
Windy City Queercast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
I was talking to a lady just a few days ago, and these are the words she said.
She said,
if you see my child somewhere as you turn there here and there, tell him I'm waiting for my child to come home.
Listening to the Windy City Queercast show number 320. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
And we are hanging out not on the couch.
Not on the couch.
You can hear the helicopter. The
airplane going
by.
Yeah,
the American Airlines helicopter. The huge, Boeing, whatever, jet overhead. Hanging out in our backyard on a weird summer 2009 Chicago day.
It was pouring earlier today.
Yeah. And now it's like,
it's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous now.
And actually sort of hot and summer-like, unlike the rest of the summer.
Steamy. Muggy.
Yeah, I like it.
I'm heading to the muggy south.
You are heading to the muggy south.
I am heading to the muggy south.
I guess
Tennessee.
I am too. Well, is Kentucky considered the south?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Look how stupid I am. I don't even know where Kentucky is.
When you see cousins and their teeth, they have one tooth in their head. Good moonshine stills.
Such a New Englander. I don't know where anything
turkey.
Is.
Wild turkey.
If it's lower than Connecticut, I really don't know where it is.
Yeah, then it's the South.
Yeah.
Lower than Connecticut, it's the South.
Officially, it's the South, yeah, exactly.
You're about the most northern thing that's going to be walking around.
Yeah, that makes New Jersey the South.
Louisville, Kentucky. Louisville.
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 There you go.
Ah.
It's just like L-U and V-L. Don't even say Louisville. Ville. Vol.
Louisville.
Vol.
I'm excited. I'm so deep in learning lines right now.
Yeah.
I'm sitting up in my apartment. I haven't gotten dressed, by the way.
You look so butch and sexy these days.
Oh, you're
like
my favorite person on the planet.
And
I am bearded
and tanned and bearded and
I am all of those things.
And I love you're going to smoke while we head to our podcast.
I am going to smoke.
Please do. Light
I have
it up.
One cigarette left. I will.
Oh dear, I'll go get you some.
Oh goodness, no.
I have
to get out of this. You know, it's like I can learn. This is such shop talk. Nobody's interested, but I have this process of learning lines where I just have to just sit by myself in a room and jam these lines into my head, and then I have to stop paying attention to them at all and wander around and try to do them without my script in my hand, like as I'm running errands. But the problem is I then look like a crazy person, right? Because I'm like in the Jewel saying my lines out
loud. You
don't
look as crazy now in 2009 as you probably did in 2004,
right,
because
if
people have those earpieces.
You're right. You could
just wear a fake earpiece.
You're right. I should just borrow somebody's Bluetooth and just...
I still like watch people when I'm going to the grocery store or something and people are just looking battier than a bat, talking to themselves
know,
and flailing around
I'm not
and gesturing
used to it.
And it takes me a while to even see that they have an earpiece in.
I'm so not used to it.
And some of them are probably just batty and are talking to themselves, but now I think they're having deep intellectual cell phone conversations.
Yes.
Running mogul companies and
yeah,
stuff.
They're huge CEOs, yeah. But they've only have three teeth in their head.
Exactly.
Now, when are you leaving for the South?
Well, I'm going to Tennessee this week, so this will be the only CareerCast this week, and then I come back early next week, so I'm back on Monday.
Oh, awesome. Very excited. Awesome will be my next day off.
Yeah. So I'll maybe see you on your day off.
I hope so.
And we'll reprise what we did last night. Should we tell them what we did last night?
Oh, yeah. That was awesome. Thank you, by the way.
Yeah. I picked up Mitchell. I'd been at the New Mary's Attic Rec Room, which if you all haven't been there, super, super fun. Bumped into Amy Armstrong and Honey West and
Is that Darryl downstairs Nitz. Where it used to be Tomboy?
It's the old Tomboy is now, they're called their Rec Room, and they're brewing their own beers and... got a menu, their menu, still have food and everything, but it's kind of a cool atmosphere.
It's like a gay sports bar.
It's like a gay sports bar.
Because every time I walk by this baseball plane.
That's exactly right. They're more like kind of a watch sports drink beer bar, whereas Crew to me is more like a true sports bar with the pool table and all that kind of stuff. But
and lots of posing. Can I give a hint to my gay brethren?
Yes.
Just because you wear a baseball hat backwards does not make you a jock.
Oh, no. What about forwards?
Well, you know what I'm saying. There's like this posing. It's like, you know, if I put on my Cubs cap backwards, you know, wear like some shirt that has like, you know, the Celtics or something, you know, then I'm a fucking jock. No, you're not. No, you're not. Unless you actually make your living as a fucking athlete, you're not a jock.
Yeah.
I think about
you're a jock.
Well, it's funny. I would never in a million years describe myself as a jock, and yet I probably make more of a living doing athletic things than most of these guys who preen around a place like Crew acting like they're, quote, a jock because they play softball on the weekend for big chicks.
They can be jock at heart, though, don't you think?
I guess. I think that, I mean, obviously there are a lot of jocks.
I'm a drag queen at heart, and I don't make a dime putting
on
fake lashes.
I mean, I'm sure that there's a lot of it is true, but you know what I'm saying? There's a posing going on a lot that sort of bothers me about that bar. Nothing gets the bar because, in fact, I know a lot of people who work there, and they're fabulous.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of posing that goes on, and I think...
I like their food.
Yeah, they have good food.
I love the Crew food. I don't know. I'm not a gay man, I don't deal with any posing there. I just go to watch games there.
I like to eat there, and then I like to go down the street and either see a show at The Annoyance, which is like two buildings down, or I don't know if people know this, but I'm going to tell you to go. They have a bar, like the lobby of The Annoyance
is
a full bar. And it's really fun, and there's always really interesting people. And whether you go to see a show there or not, it's a cool bar to hang out in because there's smart, interesting people there all the time.
Well, that little strip is so cool with the Green Mill, with Marigold, some cool Indian food,
Absolutely.
Annoyance, with Pug and Crew now. Light on up, baby. Real jocks don't smoke, too.
Yeah, I so don't smoke. That's why I would say I would never... That's why I would never call myself a jock.
Oh, now, come on. All dancers smoke, and they're athletes. They're probably some of the best athletes in the world.
What is Wild Pug?
That's the other bar for Crews, so it's interesting that, like, you know, Mary's Attic... I mean, Hamburger Mary's has the Rec Room, and now everybody has, like, their little...
Extra space.
...offshoots, you know? Like, their brother-sister place. It is. It means gays are still drinking and eating and
Unfortunately,
socializing.
Tomboy, it's sad that Tomboy's gone. They used to have a great brunch, and...
Yep.
It's been there for quite a while.
But it helped pioneer that neighborhood.
It's
true. The lesbians
true.
Pioneer the neighborhood, and then the gay men take
I
over.
Know.
It's what happens.
That's happened in Ogunquit, Maine, too, by the way. If you ever been to Ogunquit. Did you know Ogunquit, Maine used to be like the lesbian capital of the world? It's like a lesbian province town.
Is it really?
And now the boys, of course, because boys are so fucking pushy,
we've
sort of taken over.
It's all about territory. Well, you know what's really, like, taken over is Loyola University. We need to convert some Catholics.
Yes, but we never finished what we were talking about.
Yeah,
what we did
go.
Last night. Yeah.
Yeah. So up near Loyola University, which is real near where I live, where Mitchell lives, where we hang our hood up here in the Edgewater
Street.
There in our hood.
I'm
wearing my baseball hat cocked to the right.
Right. Also, you're wearing... Okay, here's the phenomenon. I keep interrupting.
And my grill.
We'll eventually get to this. Have anyone noticed this particular trend, which is a baseball cap for any sports team? It doesn't have to be a baseball team. Any sports team. And the cap has to be brand spanking new.
Yes.
So much so that the sticker is still on it. And it's not actually on your... Like,
it's propped on top to an angle. Yep.
What is that?
I don't know.
Is that the head version of the... Of the shorts down below your box of shorts?
I think so. It reminds me of like the street mini pearl.
Can I officially say can I officially say it looks really dumb?
It does look dumb, but Minnie Pearl's hat looked dumb too. But
she was doing a bit. She was a comic. These people are serious.
Well,
I saw it a lot on the ship.
Well, They're serious?
Well, they're serious about their choice of fashion.
Come on.
It's dumb. Anyway, so we go up to near Loyola.
So we go up near Loyola because after I'd been to the rec room, where I hung out and bumped into, as I said, Daryl Nitz, cabaret singer, and Amy Armstrong, cabaret singer, and Honey West, cabaret singer. So the cabaret singers were all beering it up and pubbing it up at the rec room.
Was it a convention?
No, they're having a birthday for somebody.
Oh.
So I was there for something with About Face Theater, kind of going away party, and I called Mitchell and I said, I want to take you to go get the best new burger in town. Best new burger I've almost had, period. And he's like, okay, I'll meet you. I said, meet me in the alley in 2 minutes. So,
which sounds dirty, but it's not.
It was so dirty.
It's just the alley behind the house.
It's just the alley behind the house. So I pull up, I grab Mitchell. He's talking about how hard he worked out all day with Looking Glass, learning his new show. And I'm like, I said, now they have a burger, and then they have a little burger. And I said, now a burger has two patties. And he was like, oh, I'm going to have the little burger. And I was like, uh-huh, you're having the big burger. You're having the regular burger. So I take Mitchell up Sheridan Road now. Broadway turns into Sheridan. Oops. People are calling me. That's how important I am. This is the first time I've ever forgotten to turn off my phone.
That's funny. I'm glad I didn't bring mine because I always forget
to
turn it off.
So we go up Sheridan Road around Loyola and right there now where they are building all these new condos and apartments for rent and there's little strip stores and a new CVS. They have finally gotten a Five Guys.
Five Guys, which I have never heard of.
Five Guys, which everybody's starting to hear about because Barack Obama loves them in D.C. And they're my college roommate's favorite hamburger, and she lives in D.C. and has for many, many, many years. And Kelly and I had gone, I went to pick up some Chipotle or something for Kelly up on Sheridan Road, and I was driving by like 2 weeks ago and did like a double, triple take of like, is that a Five Guys? So on my own, because my girlfriend doesn't eat ground beef.
Oh.
I have to have the burger experience all by myself.
Yeah.
Which is kind of satisfying, because you can kind of be piggy about it.
Yeah, you can be a pig.
And really messy
about
it.
Yeah, they are a little bit messy.
Oh, they're so good.
So good.
So I went and had one last week, and I have literally, like, crack cocaine must be in their all-natural, never-frozen beef, because I have been going, when can I go? Can I go by myself? Who can I take to go to Five Guys? So Mitchell went with me. And the verdict on...
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, if you like a burger, and you know, I know it's not PC, but I'm a meat eater.
I am a carnivore.
My father was a butcher. I grew up with meat. I eat meat.
It's PC.
It's like, it reminds me of that. There's a bad movie from the 80s, but there's this wedding being planned, and the bride and groom want to have like this vegetarian wedding. And the old Italian aunt says, what do you mean there's got to be no meat? She's like, no, we don't need meat. She's like, honey, people are going to come to your wedding. They're going to give you money. Give them meat. That's how I feel.
Give them meat. Well, they give you meat. You get like two patties with cheese in between if you get the cheeseburger.
I did.
Which I did too. And then you get to pick from like 14 things you want on it. Everything from A1 sauce to hot sauce to relish
and
to regular pickles.
Relish and
grilled onions.
Or
raw onions. Lettuce, tomato.
It was fabulous. Verdict, fabulous. And also the fries.
The fries. Simply
divine. Yeah, they
divine.
Do this weird thing, too, where they tell you where the potatoes are from.
Yeah, they have bins of potatoes and peanuts because everything's cooked in peanut oil.
Yeah, so if you're allergic to peanuts, probably not the
best
place for you.
Don't walk within a 20-mile radius.
Yeah, because you'll smell it and go into some.
You're smelling it, and there are boxes of it. You get to take free peanuts and eat them while you wait. They grill your burger right there for you. Exactly. I recommend eating it there because that's where it's hot and best and...
And by the way, there's
who
like
can wait?
This cute Loyola undergrads to stare at.
Oh, there's so many. It's going to be the gay hotspot.
I think so.
By September.
Or the like
the day after Labor Day.
Or the like, you know, I don't know if they have fraternities at Loyola. Probably not, but like the.
Oh, I bet they do.
You know, those boys. So it's really cute. And it's really like bright.
It's too small.
It is small.
It's not going to hold the business they're going to
I wonder how late they stay open.
I think they're open till 11.
That's good.
Good to know.
Yeah, good to know.
Good to know.
Late night burger.
I hear that they're going to have another one that's going to open up south of Foster somewhere.
SoFo,
south of Foster somewhere. So I don't know, guys. I think there are some downtown now. I don't get downtown that often, so.
It was delish.
Yeah, we'll see. It's delish.
And, you know, if you're like me and like sometimes you're in a rush and you just jump into a McDonald's or a Burger King because it's like, I got to eat something right now. Yep. And you eat it and it, of course it tastes delicious because grease and fat taste delicious.
Yes.
But then you feel like shit.
Yeah.
After, I did not feel like shit. I felt energized.
I felt really full.
In fact, I was quite energized. In fact, I told you this. I actually couldn't fall asleep last night. I didn't fall asleep till almost 4:30 in the morning.
Wow. That's late.
It was really late and I wanted to be in bed by like 11:30.
Yep.
So I'm sort of zonked as I'm practicing dances and in the backyard like a crazy person.
Like a crazy person. I love that you're in my backyard practicing your little...
chair dance.
Your little Mad Hatter dance.
It's funny.
Little tea party dance.
It's a tea party dance.
So we have some news to tell you about and what's going on in the theater scene. And also Richard Knight Jr. has his review of Julie and Julia.
Oh, I can't wait to see
that. So can't wait to see that. And so Mitchell Fain and I hanging out in the backyard, the whole queer cast after this.
Hi there. I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
And I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
You know, most people know that Miller Lite tastes great, but up until now, only brewmasters like me knew why.
Well, most people know that my friends and I are the most dominating presence in the Kalamazoo Western Division Level 3 Softball League, but very few know why.
Huh. You see, we add the hops first for flavor, second for balance, and a third time to lock in the great Pilsner taste by enhancing the foamy head.
Yeah, well... we don't need fancy softball strategery to win.
We call it the triple hops brewing process.
But we call it heart, Mr. Man.
We're on the same team here. I thought you would appreciate this new information.
I apologize. I just wish I had something as important to share.
Well, buy a six-pack of Miller Lite and you will.
Miller Lite brewmasters have to know the ins and outs of triple hops brewing. The only thing you have to do is enjoy the great-tasting light beer. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. Greg McMacken, coach of the Hawaii Warriors football team, used the word faggot three times when talking about Notre Dame University in a press conference, and then asked the media to not tell anyone he used the word, saying he did not want to have every homosexual ticked off at him. Later, McMacken said, I would sincerely like to apologize for the inappropriate words that I used.
Former U.S. Senator Rick Santorum has become an ally of the National Organization for Marriage, emailing conservative supporters to help stop President Obama's proposed repeal of the Defense of Marriage Act. Santorum, who once compared same-sex relationships to bestiality, warned that ending DOMA could lead to same-sex weddings spreading like a grass fire across America.
The late gay Harvey Milk will receive a Presidential Medal of Freedom from President Obama in an August 12th ceremony, along with tennis legends Billie Jean King and gay rights advocate Senator Edward Kennedy.
Republican Charles Baker Jr., a marriage equality supporter, has entered the race for governor of Massachusetts. Baker, who is a socially moderate fiscal conservative, said, "My brother's gay and he's married and he lives in Massachusetts, so I'm for it." The current governor is Democrat Deval Patrick.
Jeffrey Marcellus, described by Philadelphia police as the worst serial rapist in the city's history, was finally sentenced thanks to a lesbian. Marcellus received life in prison after raping a 21-year-old lesbian.
In Washington State, the Secretary of State's office said it initially counted 127,689 voter signatures in petitions submitted by sponsors of Referendum 71, which opposes the new same-sex domestic partner law. They will now verify the signatures. The number is 14% more than what's needed to put the issue on the November ballot.
In Utah, gay rights activists are organizing a national kiss-in protest on August 15th. The nationwide protest will be the third such protest to happen at Temple Square since a gay couple was arrested on Mormon-owned Main Street Plaza in Salt Lake City after behaving in a way the church thought was inappropriate.
In Chicago, International Mr. Leather President Chuck Renslow announced that as of 2010, the event will no longer allow participation in the IML leather market by any entity which promotes barebacking or distributes/sells any merchandise tending to promote or advocate barebacking. He said, "Too many in our community believe HIV/AIDS is curable or manageable. Too few understand that HIV/AIDS infections dominate life."
Dwight D. Lee, age 20, of New York, has been found guilty of first-degree manslaughter and committing a hate crime in the death of a trans woman, Letitia Green. He may receive up to 25 years in prison. Last November, while sitting with her brother in their car, DeLee walked up, raised a .22-caliber rifle, and shot Green. Only 11 states and the District of Columbia have laws that protect gender identity.
In world news, the European country of Albania, which is predominantly Muslim, may approve same-sex marriages. Parliament, which is controlled by Democrats, is expected to pass the act, making the country the first in the region to recognize same-sex marriage.
The second World Out Games, being held in Copenhagen, was silenced on July 28th because of an alleged hate crime attack during the track and field competition, held at Østerbro Stadium. Dean Koga of the Seattle Frontrunners was injured by shrapnel when an explosive device was thrown on the track moments before the start of the men's 4x200 relay. Koga's right hand was injured. He has been released from the hospital and was back on the track July 29th.
In Serbia, human rights groups have asked police to investigate anti-gay graffiti that has appeared before an upcoming gay pride event planned in Belgrade. The September 20th march will be the first gay pride gathering in the country in 8 years. In 2001, several pride participants were beaten by extremists.
In entertainment news, photographer Annie Leibovitz has been hit with a lawsuit alleging she reneged on a $24 million loan agreement to sell her art collection and homes in Greenwich Village and Rhinebeck, New York, as part of the deal. The company's attorneys claim she will not cooperate and has ignored bills totaling hundreds of thousands of dollars. Leibovitz called the claims baseless.
Lindsay Lohan has dismissed reports that she owes top Hollywood hotel Chateau Marmont $37,500 in unpaid bills, saying someone is spreading false rumors about her. People at the exclusive resort insist Lohan doesn't owe anything.
Miss Universe Diana Mendoza approves of same-sex marriage. When asked if she would approve the legislation of same-sex marriage, Mendoza responded she has several close gay friends who should be able to spend the rest of their lives with the people they love.
Could the L word hit the big screen? Eileen Chaykin has hinted as much when, during a blogging panel at the recent Blog Her conference about who killed Jenny, Chaykin responded that the issue will be addressed in an upcoming L word film, since in the season finale, the killer's identity remained a mystery.
Reportedly, the reinvention of the 80s movie Fame will drop the storyline of the tortured gay teen Montgomery. In the original, Paul McCrane portrayed Montgomery. However, recent reports say that Montgomery's sexual orientation is not discussed in the remake, which stars Kelsey Grammer, Megan Mullally, and Bebe Neuwirth. And that's the Week in News, brought to you by Windy City Times.
To Chicago's North Side for the free Glenwood Avenue Arts Fest in Rogers Park, August 22nd and 23rd. The 8th annual fest features arts and crafts, theater, music, food, and drink on the brick streets of the historic Rogers Park. Kid Fest areas offer hands-on crafts for children. Take the CTA Red Line to Morse and Glenwood Avenues for a free weekend of art and fun for the whole family. There's more information available at glenwoodav.org.
Richard Knight Jr. with another Night at the Movies Mega Minute. After seeing writer-director Nora Ephron's Julie and Julia, I felt like singing food, glorious food. Because like little Oliver, when the movie was over, I was begging, please, sir, I want some more. He described my feelings about Julia and Julia exactly. This delectable, adorable movie, and yes, that's a proper word for it, definitely leaves one hungering for another helping. It's a great return to form for writer-director Nora Ephron after a couple of stinkers who smartly decided to combine adaptations of Julia Powell's bestseller, based on her blog, about cooking the recipes in Julia Child's renowned cookbook and Child's own memoir about her early days before becoming the world's beloved French chef. From the moment we see Meryl Streep as Child exclaim with abject wonder as she gazes into a frying pan, butter, the audience melts in her mouth. This is in 1949 when Child and her husband, Paul, played by Stanley Tucci, a foreign service officer, are in residence in Paris, her spiritual home. Ephron contrasts the bubbly Julia with a creatively stifled Julie Powell, Amy Adams reteaming with Streep after last year's doubt, who comes up with the idea of cooking all of Child's recipes in a year's time and blogging about the results. As the project continues with its share of tiny triumphs and disasters, Ephron takes us back to Paris to track Child's own path to fame and glory and slowly interweaves the connections between the mentor and student until a lively, warm-hearted dual portrait combining past and present emerges. From the outset, Streep perfectly captures Child's famous buoyancy. At first, one resents the interruptions of the sweet but not particularly personable Powell, but eventually Adams' ability to connect with audiences helps turn the tide. And it doesn't hurt that the husbands are both dreamsicles themselves. Ephron has also salted the movie with a raft of crack supporting actors that give it extra flavor. Out comedian Jane Lynch is Julia's equally exuberant and very tall sister, Frances Sternhagen is a meek, best-selling cookbook author, etc., etc., are all great. To sum up this delicious little movie, I offer yet another food metaphor. They're kind of irresistible. Julia and Julia is a souffle that rises to perfection before our eyes and is just as quickly devoured by its enchanted, hungry audience. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Mega Minute.
Want to take your tennis game to the next level? Midtown Tennis Club wants to send you back to school for its patented instruction program, Tennis Schools. Whether you're a beginner or advanced intermediate, Tennis Schools has a program to fit your game. Enrollment in Tennis Schools starts at only $105 and includes a four-week membership to the Midtown Tennis Club, including access to Midtown's fitness center, practice lanes, and locker rooms, as well as invitations to two tennis parties and instructions from the country's best pros, all starting at $105. That's less than $30 per lesson. Midtown Tennis Club is located in Lincoln Park at 2020 West Fullerton Avenue. For more information, call 773-235-2300 or visit midtown.com/Chicago and just click on the Tennis Schools link. Who said school can't be fun?
Eight times a week, another 2,000 Chicagoans experience the musical phenomenon that is Jersey Boys. When this supercharged sensation first arrived, the Tribune proclaimed, Jersey Boys rock Chicago. And it has. Over 500,000 people have thrilled to the smash hit blockbuster about Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. I love you, baby. Every night at the Bank of America Theater, a new audience goes wild for the story of four blue-collar kids working their way from the streets of Newark to the heights of stardom. So the only question left is, what are you waiting for? Discover what everyone's cheering about and take the journey across the country, up the charts, and behind the music with Jersey Boys. Oh, what a night. Jersey Boys. Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com for tickets today.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance. Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get
some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of August 3rd, 2009, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Rock out with a night of great women musicians on August 17th at Ravinia Festival. Get tickets now for Blondie and Pat Benatar with special guest The Donnas. Make it a date at ravinia.org.
Million Dollar Quartet is a hit, raves the Chicago Tribune. On December 4th, 1956, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, and Elvis Presley played together for the first and only time. Relive that night with the new rock and roll musical Million Dollar Quartet, now extended at the Apollo Theater. For tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com.
Poseidon, an upside-down musical, will float your boat, says the Chicago Tribune. See the Jeff-recommended hit musical parody of the cult classic disaster film now held over at the Chopin Theater. For tickets and info, go to handbagproductions.org. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi, this is Betty Buckley, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Mississippi River divides this land in two. Like the way we tend to think of things, black and white, red and blue. If they can keep us fighting about marriage and God, there'll be no one left to notice if our leaders do their jobs. And the truth is bigger than these drops of rain.
Mitchell, one story that's not in the news because Kirk and I recorded the news yesterday. That is the big news of what happened in Tel Aviv.
Yeah.
This bombing at this, or shooting?
It was a shooting.
Shooting. Sorry, I'm so used to them being bombings. This is so much more direct and personal. Shooting of these GLBT teens.
Yeah, I think one of the girls who passed, who got killed, was 18 years old. It's unbelievably tragic, and I guess I take it quite personally, being a Jewish person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not that it should be any less personal to anybody other human being on the planet, but it makes me so furious when fellow Jews have that kind of intolerance. Now, I know it's not widespread,
mm-hmm.
but there is intolerance to gays in Israel, of course, because it's a religious country, although it is a democracy, which the prime minister said. This is a democracy, and he said, you know, very explicitly said, we have to be tolerant of all people, of all ideas, because we are a democracy. And if anybody should know what it's like to feel terrorized because of who you are, it is Jewish people, and especially Jewish people who have immigrated to Israel, which is supposed to be a safe haven. Of course, we know it's a volatile place, but this man just opened fire on a group of people at this gay and lesbian community center in Tel Aviv, and this is supposed to be a safe haven
mm-hmm.
for people, a lot of people who aren't even out to their families, a place where they can talk to counselors and meet other people who are like them. And it went from being a safe haven where you could be not out and feel supported, and it went to an absolute nightmare instantly, because some,
like a bullseye, like a target now,
some evil religious zealot douchebag in a,
yeah.
you know, in black clothing. Why do people always wear black too? It's anyway,
the Klan wore white.
Yeah, it's
or red.
It's just weird, and it's just horrible. And you know, there's more news to follow about what the follow up is. They don't have as of the last time I checked, they don't have anyone in custody. This person got away.
Yeah.
And I think three people died and several people are injured. I mean, they just opened fire into a crowd of people, young people,
mm-hmm.
hanging out in front of this safe haven.
Mm-hmm.
It's so many levels of evil.
I don't think of, like, I actually think of the Jewish faith in, you know, especially in America, as being pretty tolerant of GLBT people, more so than
I think it is in America.
Protestantism or Catholicism. I think of Judaism as being more tolerant, but I think obviously when you get into that culture,
the orthodoxy,
yeah, when you know the difference between culture and religion, there is a difference.
Absolutely.
And we have an American culture and people of faith living within that culture, and that's definitely the difference. You know, but even in this American democracy as well, literally not 10 blocks from where we're sitting right now, Fred Phelps was supposed to be this morning. He was coming
oh, really?
To Emmanuel Congregation, and I found out about it late last night, that he was coming to Emmanuel Congregation and that they wanted people to come and protest this morning, which I obviously I wasn't able to do.
I say ignore that crazy motherfucker.
Right.
I mean, it's like last night I was walking by a 7-Eleven. And there was this clearly sort of homeless, crazy person barking outside of the 7-Eleven. And in my head, I thought, just ignore him. You know, there but for the grace of God, go I, right? And he wasn't, you know, saying horrible things. He just was barking. I thought, you know, just don't be afraid. You know, just ignore him. So I sort of feel like the same thing should apply to Fred Phelps. We should just think of him as some crazy, barking person that, for our own safety and sanity, we should just ignore him.
Mm-hmm.
I get protesting him if he's doing something.
I think they just wanted a peaceful protest. They wanted people to just encircle the church so that he couldn't and not say anything, just to like show that.
I know, but if Fred Phelps shows up and no one's there to listen,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I sort of feel like. I mean, I get it. I agree. I agree that sometimes just sort of surrounding an area so that he can't even have access to it is, in a quiet, peaceful way, is great. But there's a part of me that's just like, just pretend he doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Because you know what? He will hang himself.
He's just the lowest common denominator. And for people who don't know, Fred Phelps is of the Westboro Baptist Church of Kansas, and he is the minister, I use that word so lightly.
And he's virulently anti-gay.
The zealot who is, yeah, who has gone to slain veterans of these wars of Afghanistan and Iraq, and has said that we are in these wars and people are dying because of homosexuals.
Yeah, he's blaming it on the gays.
He showed up at Matthew Shepard's funeral and trial, probably the most, that was one of the earliest high-profile episodes where he was there with his signs, his God Hates Fag signs, and Matthew Burn in Hell, and... just definitely, you know, they've been trying to pass ordinances where he can't protest.
I sort of feel like this, though. When he does something like that, even a person who is on the fence about their feelings about gay people...
doesn't want to be associated with him.
No, I think that him being such a screaming lunatic...
he's a zealot.
...makes most reasonable people, even if they are on the bigoted side as far as this issue goes, they look at that and they certainly don't want to be him.
Yep.
Or his crazy sister.
I mean, it actually does good things for our cause, I think.
In a way, yes.
In many ways.
In a way, yes. You know, also, I don't know if you know about this, the soldier who was, he was killed, and they're not sure if he was killed because he was gay. He was a gay soldier.
Right.
You know, obviously he was not out or he would have been kicked out.
Right, but his family said that they think that he was because he was being...
Did you read that the person who killed himself in jail? He asphyxiated himself. He choked himself on toilet paper and killed himself. So now we'll never know.
Mm.
He killed himself in jail.
Mm.
This just happened yesterday.
Yeah.
Or I just read about it yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, I just think there are so many demons with lies. There are so many demons with hate. You know,
also, remember, as gay and lesbian, as the GLB community, I sometimes like to think of GLBT as guacamole, lettuce, bacon, and tomato.
Because
that's a really good sandwich. That's how I think of us, as a really delicious sandwich.
Yeah. colorful, too. Like
yes,
the yellow
exactly.
And green.
Exactly.
And the green and the...
So when we...
mayo would be in there, too.
And red. When we... as we... become more assimilated into society,
mm-hmm.
the other side gets more and more anxious,
mm-hmm.
and then more and more violent.
Mm-hmm.
I think that maybe always happens. Maybe it's human nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this idea that, like, you know, there's this thing that keeps getting thrown out that every society that has disappears after homosexuality is accepted by that culture. And I sort of beg to differ that it's a little chicken or the egg thing. And there is some documentation to show that that's true. Like, you know, as homosexuality gets accepted, that's sort of towards the end of a culture being accepted. But I don't think it's the gay and lesbian people. It's the people who refuse to change, refuse to grow, and then they destroy it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
We don't destroy it. It's the people who can't fucking move on and get over their shit. They want it to remain exactly the way it is,
mm-hmm.
because nobody gives up power willingly. So the fact that they have to then change their paradigm,
mm-hmm.
they destroy it, not us.
I think of Greece as being, though, a very gay place, you know, the early origins.
I know, but it's
of...
one of the ones that they use as an example. Greece, Rome, Germany before World War II.
Yeah.
I mean, all of these. And let's face it, you know, we have been the dominant society on the planet for a very long time. And I'm not saying we're not anymore, but...
I mean gay people or you
No,
mean
I mean the United
beings?
States. No, I mean
oh,
the United
mean
States.
The okay.
And, you know, kids... eventually, that's not going to be true anymore.
Oh no, China's already the dominant world power.
And we have to accept that gracefully. I mean, we won't. It will be ugly, but it's just the way the world works, people.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about we're gonna destroy the planet. And a friend of mine said, we are not gonna destroy the planet. We may destroy ourselves, and then the bees will take over or something. But we won't destroy the planet.
Right.
You know, some organism on the planet will survive and thrive and take over. We're not gonna. It's you know,
crocodiles.
Yeah, or whatever. Like, you know, cockroaches. Or no, cockroaches survive because they stay exactly the same. But I mean, it's the same thing with society. You know, we keep holding on to the way it used to be, And if we don't evolve and let the world move forward as it's going to, always forward, never backwards.
Right.
We can't go backwards. That's
right.
Not how the world works. The earth spins in one direction and it keeps going forward.
Right.
So this idea that we have to go back to some sort of time, family, blah, 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 all that bullshit, it's not, there's no basis for that.
Ball water.
Yeah, it's ball water. It's all fucking ball water. I mean, there's no basis for that in science or history.
Right.
You know, we always go forward. Accept it and move the fuck on.
Yeah, because if you... I mean, I guess the only thing you can do is you can slide backwards. You can slide.
You can slide backwards, but you're going to be left behind.
You're getting left behind.
I think so.
Interesting.
Yeah, it just makes me sad.
Man, you should stay up till 4:30 more often.
I know, I get rageful.
Esoteric. You could be like on Meet the Press. We could do a new little Sunday morning show. Keep Mitchell up till like 4:30, 5 o'clock on a Saturday night.
Get me punchy.
No, but it's true. You know, it is. And I am so slow to change. I don't like change.
No, who does? Nobody does.
That's, nobody likes change.
Nobody likes change,
like,
but it's happening.
Human, yeah.
I think it is, but it's because we get in a comfort zone and we like our comforts and our creature comforts and we like our status quo because we get comfortable there if we're in a lucky enough position to become comfortable.
Mm-hmm. If we're not, we're scratching and clawing to get comfortable, right?
Right, exactly. That's the human condition. And so nobody likes to change, you know?
Do you do well with change or transition?
No, I fucking hate it.
Yeah.
But you have to accept it. I fucking hate it. You know, once again, I can't remember if the last time we talked, I talked about this quote that my best friend David was here visiting.
Yes, you did.
And this quote, right? I'm gonna bring it up again because I feel like it's really important, which is my experience is what I agree to attend to. So I can either agree to attend to, I hate the change, I hate it, I want things to go back the way they were, I like it the way I like it, or we can agree to attend to, oh, this new beautiful thing, what is, and this new beautiful thing, and I like this. Mm-hmm. And if we agree to attend to that, then that is our experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that can be applied to anything. I mean, I'm sort of obsessed with this quote. Thanks, David, for fucking shooting this into my brain so it won't leave. But I think that it's true. We choose our experience.
Right.
You know, the negative or the positive. We choose it.
Yeah.
You know? And whether it's relationships or it's jobs or it's the
friendships
or the state of the world.
Authenticity
or,
of self.
Yeah, integrity.
I mean, we choose it.
Yeah, I think we choose it. I'm not a person who thinks. One of my best friends from growing up, she used to say all the time, "Oh, things work out for the best." And people say that all the time. Things work out for the best. I don't think that's true.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. I think things work out.
Mm-hmm. One way or the other.
One way or the other, and then we, as human beings, give it meaning. We agree to attend to one meaning or the other, and then that becomes our experience.
We adjust.
Yeah.
Even
it's
if
like,
we're not very malleable, you adjust because it becomes the what is. Right?
I was with my friend Jordan and we were staying at a friend of mine's house and we were sharing a bed and we woke up one morning.
That's a whole other story.
That's a whole other story. We woke up one morning and maybe we were a little bit hungover or just, you know, a little too much red wine the night before. But literally before his eyes were even open, Jordan said to me, "Is choices a word?"
Choices?
Choices. And I said...
With a C-H?
C-H-O-I-N-C-E-S. Choices. And I said, no, it's not. But why? He said, I think it should be. And now it's part of our vernacular because it's like this. We have chance, right? So we get into a situation and there's all this chance. We go to a party and we are chanced to meet so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And then out of that, all those chances, all that randomness, we decide who we're going to talk to or who we're going to be friends with. So we make a choice,
mm-hmm.
right? So the combination of chance and choice is choice.
It's choices, which sounds
so
really dirty.
It does. It
sounds
does.
Like a taint. Sounds like a little piece between here and there, which it is if it's between choice and chance.
It is. And so it's about making good choices, right? It's about taking it's about taking advantage of the chance that comes up in our random universe, right?
Yep.
The random things that come up and present themselves to us. Do I go this way? Do I go that way? Do I go this way? And then after we've accepted the different chances, we make a choice.
Right.
So what are our choices?
Mm.
So I'm all about choices.
You're all about choices. Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
I'm going to get a t-shirt made. I'm all about choices.
You're having like the little Buddha day today, aren't you?
I am.
You're sitting out here amongst the grass.
I know. It's so beautiful back here, too. Amy has a really beautiful backyard.
It's green.
It's really green
it's
and really,
really
lovely.
Green. It's really green and really lovely. Well, we will continue to follow this story in Tel Aviv. I am going tomorrow night to see Spring Awakening.
So
downtown
jealous.
With the Steven Rader. And hopefully our next queer cast is going to be with Miss Alexandra Billings before she leaves town. We'll see if that's going to happen or not. You want to take bets on it? What's the chances that it might happen?
Well, there's very little chance with Alex, you know.
He might have some choices.
Yeah, she might have to make a choice.
And therefore we'll have a choice.
Yes.
And coming up, I've been doing some interviews that... and setting up some interviews that I'm really looking forward to with singer-songwriter Phil Putnam coming up in upcoming weeks, as well as we talk about choices. going to flaw that through.
Yeah, see?
Continue to pepper it.
It's really good.
Choices. It makes my mouth feel a little dirty when I say it. There is a new gay author who has written a book on tarot. Are you about the tarot cards?
They scare me, but I could get into it.
Yeah, so I'm going to get red, my beads red, as I like to call it. You read me, girl. Oh, girl. And I might have a Five Guys because he lives kind of near there.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, maybe I'll have a burger and some choices with my tarot.
If that's what you agree to attend to.
That is coming up as well. So there is so much good stuff on the horizon, and I hope you just keep enjoying the summer. We're trying to carve out as much more summer as we can have.
And pray for those young people in Tel Aviv.
Please, please, please. Send up prayers, thoughts, and well wishes that other GLBT centers, you know, around the world.
Yeah, that this doesn't become a trend.
We now have this plethora of these gay and lesbian centers around the world, and definitely in the United States. And it will be horrible if they start to echo what we've seen with women's healthcare centers because of the abortion zealots. And so just real prayers that will stay contained and that they will capture whoever did that.
I hope they do. I hope they do.
And then he will have no choice.
He will have no choices. Because he made his fucking choices.
He made his fucking choice.
Yeah, he did make a fucking choice.
And that's when they're a choice as a choice. And it's unfortunate.
Let's just say it's the wrong choice.
And it's the wrong choice on this day of days. Mitchell.
Amy.
Finish doing your little Mad Hatter dance.
I will be dancing out here in the backyard.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.